December 9, 2020, it's the Watch for Pedro show.
We'll be right back. Tree would listen to all that I would say, and the sun was shining brightly, and the sky was smiling, and the sun was shining brightly, and the sky was smiling, and the sun was shining brightly, and the sun was smiling. Sat there in my gloom, and the light was fading dimly, and the sky was crying, and the light was fading dimly, and the sky was crying, and the light was fading dimly, and the sky was crying. Branches low down to the ground, and his green leaves shrouded up my mind, and I left the world somewhere behind, and I did not know what I would find.
Show. Happy Wednesday, second Wednesday of December. My ma would have been 86, but we lost her 13, 14 months ago. I'm coming up on 63 in 11 days. But yeah, let's not get all into that time watching the grains of sand go down the glass, people. We started the show off of John Coltrane doing Leo. And then my guest for this episode, Spencer Cullum, Spencer Cullum's Coins Collection with The Tree. Welcome aboard, Spencer.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah. Thank you for having me, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got this new record, right? The Coin Collection. Mm-hmm. And I want to go way back, if I could. Can you give me your earliest musical recollection, please?
Oh, man. Oh,
Remember, it's the Watt for Pedro show, so there's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
I mean, like, I think it was like everyone, not to sound like how everyone else, but I think it was my mum playing Talking Heads music and me discovering that, what's that native melody? Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. Oh, yeah.
I think it was like listening to that and being like, oh my word, this is cool.
Okay.
And
where was this, Spence? Where was this?
It was in Romford, Essex. So.
Okay. People, listeners out there, that's part of England, like in the south,
yes.
East. Yes. No, southwest. I'm sorry.
Yes. Kind of East London, yeah.
Actually, and then Essex. No, it's the east, southeast, yeah.
Yeah. And I think Billy Gregg. So,
kind of near Kent?
Yes, yeah, just over the water, so.
Yeah, sorry to be all fucked up, people. But I played in a town by the water there called Ramsgate.
Oh, no, Ramsgate? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a great mixer man who lives there now, Adrian Sherwood.
Okay, right, yeah. My dad was from a place called Canby Island, which is in Essex, where they call it the Thames Delta. And there was like, a band called Dr. Feelgood that were like, so
great guitar man, Wilco.
Oh man, what a bullet!
It had incredible influence on D. Boone's guitar playing of the Minuteman. So that's kind of the mouth of the Thames River then, get from the sea over to London. Okay, and that's why probably the Romans built London where they did. I heard there was like tin mines and stuff. They could make their glads, their swords. So in your pad, your mom's playing records. Was she just a listener or did she also play music?
No, I don't. My parents aren't musical. They just love music. My mum's a painter and she and my dad's a lorry driver or a truck driver.
Yeah, right. That's it. Yeah, I learned that word.
Yeah, brewing company. And then mum and dad are just huge music fans, and I just discovered their vinyl collection of the Stones, Beatles, Talking Heads, and you know, just the, do you know when you just, you get into that, you just want to soak it up, so.
Absolutely. So, in the house, there's no really musical instruments.
No, until I got a guitar, and then you just start
Let me ask you about school. Were you in the choir, or the marching band, or shit like that?
Nah, I had a really good music teacher, actually. It was like, kind of like really supported me to play guitar and kind of like, you know, I just played terrible Beatles covers. And then like all the other kids who were playing football, I'd like try and convince them to not play football and play the drums or, you know, you got to play the bass, you know, stuff like that. And
try to get a band going. So let me learn about how you got that first guitar.
You know, friend of a friend of my mum's, it was like a Marlin or something like that, and it was really horrible. You know, I think you needed like a tetanus shot to play it, the strings were so old.
We call that the William Tell version, like a bow.
Yeah. Well, the first song was Paint It Black, that's the first one.
Ah, that you learned, okay.
The A minor chord, yeah. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect you to learn the William Tell overture. I was talking more about the lack of action. But it did build up strength, probably. Let's get back to listening. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
Sgt. Pepper, I think.
Beatles.
Yeah, standard.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was the first gig you went and saw?
Oh, that's a good one. I saw, my dad took me to see the Beach Boys.
Okay.
And it was, I don't think it was very good, actually, because I don't think Brian Wilson was in the band, and that...
Oh, the Mike Love version, terrible, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, we'll get past that. So, this teacher...
The Stones, so, you know, so...
Okay, but this teacher you had at school was really instrumental in getting you on your instrument.
Yeah.
And what we should give credit, what's his name?
His name was Mike Applewhite.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Applewhite.
Yeah, and he got me lessons from the guitar teacher, who was an English teacher, who was a guitar teacher, who was a guitar player. He was like, hey, this guy called Lyndon, who was Lyndon Bohnen, Mr. Bohnen, who I had lessons with afterwards. And he'd teach me, like, he was really into, like, old Delta blues music. Mississippi John Hurt, you know, he loved sure. Robert Johnson. And, like, I'd get into sort of, I'd be like, oh, wow, this is badass. And then, you know, and then you learn the pentatonic scale and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So.
Well, what about the thing where after school, like, you kind of alluded to this, trying to get your soccer friends, the basement band, the bedroom band, the garage yeah. band. Did you get one of those going?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's great. And I was like 15 years old. And because my dad was a lorry driver, truck driver, he knew all the pubs around London. So, like, he was like, he said to all the landlords when I had this shitty band, like, you need to, can you get my son a gig, you know? Like, you know.
Yeah, he was so. Not the way you guys use solicitor, but he was soliciting your...
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was the management. Yeah,
yeah, know, right. Now, did this band have a name?
Yeah, they were called Brown Cow, the horrible band.
Brown Cow. Now, what was Brown... Well, first let me ask you, did Brown Cow copy songs off records, or did you write your own material?
No, we weren't that good. Yeah, we done songs off records.
Okay. I started out the same way. You try, because 70s, the best guy was the guy who could play Black Dog the best, you know.
And
not until the movement came that people started writing their own songs of people that I met.
I'm always asking
this question because, believe it or not, a lot of people start writing songs right away nowadays.
Oh, yeah, it's off the bat, ain't it? I mean, I had no relationship or, like, you know, connection to the song Promised Land by Chuck Berry, but I was playing it in this band from, like, 14 years old.
Tell me about the first Brown Cow gig.
It was in the Army and Navy pub in Chelmsford in Essex, and it was just a horrible little boozer. Oh, he's not there no more. It was a little boozer, you know. I think it was, like, you know... like 6 p.m. gig. It was great. You know, I was terrified.
Yeah, nervous. I was going to ask, were you scared? Were you scared?
Yeah, you do that, and you just like you get your first taste of that, and it's the best fucking feeling ever.
Oh, so people like the gig?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've had many gigs, especially in the older days, with people throwing shit and throwing you off the stage, and so you never had experiences like that.
No, that was
okay.
Later.
That's okay.
18, yeah.
You don't really need to have them. I never asked for them, but they came. I will say, I'd rather take a cup of piss in the face than hit with a battery. Okay, because they hurt. So, how long does Brown Cow ever record?
No, thank God.
Okay. What was post Brown Cow?
What's that?
Post Brown Cow. What came after?
Oh, so then I started going to college and started taking you know, started finding out pot, and I started listening to more Traffic, and you know, and like you know, sort of Pink Floyd and Syd Barrett Pink Floyd, and then I was in a band when I was like 16, 17 called Pickle Puss. And I think the name was named after an old film. I can't remember where they would say 999 Pickle Puss. It's an old black and white film. I think maybe Patrick McGoohan was in it.
Ah, The Prisoner.
Yeah.
Now, are you guys still, not you guys, but you yourself, are you still in a situation where people are playing covers and no original?
Well, a lot of it was, I think, because we were into like Pink Floyd, there was that like sort of like Interstellar Overdrive wanting to like make songs like that. Sort of thing, and but nowhere near as cool.
Oh, but you're kind of your influence, but you're trying to do your own thing.
Yeah, that was the sort of vibe, and then like there'll be like,
which is interesting because Cambridge is where they're from, right? But they ended up a London band though. But
yeah,
but that's not too far from where you're at. Look, you're gonna have to help me here because there's a little French, but Tombre en Morceau.
Merceau.
Okay, I want to play that right now, okay?
my, oh my, they don't get me in the trap. Not easy to see with a foot stuck in my mouth. Practice smiling, curse my reflection and my bad luck. In the times they swinging but no winter dark. Yeah, you show the bigger picture, even better, chain a hitch, you don't get caught out of line. 4-1-4-1. Yeah, you show the bigger picture, even better, chain a hitch, you don't get caught out of line. 4-1-4-1. Why was I thinking, not a bit okay, tell him where to go. Why was I singing, not a bit okay, tell him where to go. My, I got nothing left in prove. Even time against me, shit, I gotta move. Sever at the sinus, let it bleed out. Die without knowing what it was about. Get you start a bigger picture, even bigger, shit, I hit you. Don't get caught out of line. 4-1-4-1. To the back of the pitch, keep it back to shed a hedge, you don't get caught out of line. 4-1-4-1. What was I singing? Not a bit okay, tell them where to go. On a circle, night they sing. What was I singing? Not a bit okay, tell them where to go. On a circle, night they sing.
You're under surveillance. You're under under surface.
is a happy heart. To its outer heart.
Wife for Pedro show, Tombre en Merceau from Spencer Cullum's coin collection. Then we had the Hellbeans out of Brighton, that ain't too far. Arctic Circle, Nice They Say. It's a solo demo. So I'm going to get to that part later with you. Some guys don't make demos. They go straight to the fucking thing. It's a trip. Van B. Jones and Bob Fay after that were Surveillance. Blank Generation. This is Richard Hell's first single, 1976, this version. I remember there was Ag and Cream magazine that had his phone number. It said, call Hal. So I called. When he answered the phone, I got scared and hung up. So I don't know how many years later, I did get to meet him. He's my first punk rock hero and friends.
Alistair.
Yeah.
Marvelous.
And then Dose after that, number five, upcoming Ustamente Trace album, Kill Rock Stars, is going to release on vinyl for first time. 38 Angry Tigers, Grab Bags Upon the Sandbar, Gridlock from Bomas Prendon, and finally, my protector, Spencer Cullum's Coin Collection. So, Pickle Puss, how long did this band record?
I don't think so. Maybe. We might have live shows. We might have a live, DAT tapes. But,
Okay.
That was like kind of in college thing. When I got out of college, I started kind of messing around with the pedal steel guitar.
I was going to ask about this, about the slide, That's what you're known for now. How did that happen?
I heard a Rolling Stones song called Torn and Frayed.
Sure.
I was like, oh my God, I love the sound of that steel guitar. And I kind of was looking up old records of like English, but anything that had pedal steel on it, that English music, like Elton John early records, like Tumbleweed Connection, and then like Humble Pie records.
Ah, Steve Marriott. Great.
Yes, yeah. And I was really into like British pop music with pedal steel. And then I would notice there was a guy called BJ Cole, who was the steel player on all these records. And then I kind of hunted him down and was like, hey, can you teach me the pedal steel guitar? And I kind of like, yeah, just ended up becoming friends with him, and he taught me how to play it. So.
Now, what you should tell the listeners out there, it's much different than lap steel. Lap steel is basically a guitar on your lap. And maybe the action's a little higher. But you ain't got all these, like, 10 strings and all these pedals in different combinations that can yank on them and, make them sharp and vibrato. And it's its own world, right?
Yeah, I lost my social life to it, definitely. So that was
there are so many combinations of things.
Yes, yeah. It's such a mechanical instrument. I've never come across any other instrument, the sound or like it. It's so you're moving chords with the mechanics underneath, with knee levers and pedals. So,
The big guy here, because we had a big thing. What was it called? Country rock, like Eagles and that stuff, Flying Burrito Brothers.
Oh yeah,
Sneaky Pete.
He's the one.
Okay, he was at a studio, Cherokee up in West Hollywood, Fairfax District, where I did my Ball Hugger Tugboat.
Oh, I love that record.
Got to meet him. Yeah, the brothers that ran that place, one of them lived on a boat in Pedro. But, yeah, this guy was amazing. I mean, there's something about that instrument can be a whole choir for you, a whole string section, right?
The thing is, it was a little, like, trapped in that, like, just country music. And, like, Sneaky Pete just took it out there. And I mean, like, it's quite funny, there's... And I'm sure not as many today, but I'm sure back then, like, so many, like, traditional steel players were, like, probably so disgusted by what he was doing, just adding fuzz on the pedal steel guitar, which is so, like, tame now. And it's like, but back then, I was like, oh, you can't do that to pedal steel guitar, you know?
But anyway, rules get broken, ha-ha.
Exactly. Yeah.
I want to know, Spence, about your first gig that you did in front of people on a pedal steel.
Oh man, it was with a band. Still in the pubs, doing the pubs. There was a band, and I formed with my brother, who was like, and a few mates, pub mates of mine and whatnot from college, and they started a band, and we all wanted to be kind of, it was like country music, but like there's a band called Heads, Hands and Feet, which were like an old like pub country band back in the 70s. It was like Albert Lee's first band.
Oh, Albert Lee, I know of him.
Yeah, and it was kind of like pub rock country sort of stuff. And I know, and like we were listening to a lot of Humble Pie as well, and a lot of country stuff, Mel Haggard and all that. And then I kind of started playing pedal steel with them, and they were called Ragmop. and they were like, we'd just do like all pubs around London and whatnot. We were supporting bands like Alabama Free, who were like a big band. They done Woke Up This Morning. That's, you know, the Sopranos.
Sure.
And they were like electro country. And
so I was asking you about the first gig. Now, you had to go buy one of these things, right?
Yeah. I bought one in Ireland that was like, it was a really shitty show, bud. And it was because I'm really tall. I'm like 6'5". I had to like put books underneath it to kind of to raise the pedal steel.
Right.
But I think our first gig on pedal steel guitar might have been somewhere in East London. I think, you know, might have been like the Barfly or something like that in East London, like a small sort of club sort of place. I'm sure I was incredibly out of tune.
Yeah, did you have a lot of practice?
Nah, I think I went in, like, just got thrown into it.
Okay.
You know, they're one of these instruments, if you haven't, like, you know, I practiced a lot, but it was, you know, you got to be really honed into it for it to sound really in tune. And I'm sure it's just dove into, like, the deep end, and it was just, I thought it sounded good. You know, when you, like, you saw it out of tune, you kind of turn the reverb up more.
And people, you got to understand, with a guitar, you got frets. You know, that's why Leo Fender called his bass the precision bass, because they had fucking frets, because the basses were giant violins. They had no frets. And the same thing problem with the pedal steel here. There's no place to stop your fingers, so it can be just cut hair off, and you're going to hear that thing be sour ass, make your fucking yang pucker.
Well, the only thing we do have that is handy is a volume pedal, so you can cut that if it is.
Right.
I never want to be a bass player, because as soon as you, you know, when you can comment on this, you're going to know more experience. It's kind of like when a clanger hits on the bass, you ain't got volume pedals.
No. It happened to me with Jay Maskus in The Fog. First note of the first song at a big festival, and I'm fucking a half step out, man. And that was, the horror.
And they're going, I didn't know you like jazz. You
know? Oh, the dissonant, yeah. Oh, man, was that bad? But anyway, you had to start like that, and you probably weren't aware that was such a fucking issue, so you probably focused in on that and got that more together. How long did you play with Ragmop?
A few years, about 3 or 4 years. Three years, something like that. And then there was a band from Detroit who were touring around England called the Dead String Brothers, and they were like a country band, and I joined them. I met them in a pub, what was it, Borderline, I think, in London. And then they were playing there, and I got talking to them. They were like, hey, do you want to come on tour with us in America?
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, cool, you know. And I was like, I'd love to tour America. But it was like, it was great. It was like sofa surfing, but it was brilliant. So that kind of made me.
People are thinking Detroit country music, but one of the Eagles guy, Glenn Frey, I think was a Detroiter.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, and that was like kind of...
You know what Sly Stone said? He said, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at.
Yeah.
That's pretty clever. Hey, first hour, December 9, 2020, the Schwab Pedro Show. Special guest Spencer Cullum. Hold tight for hour two. December 9, 2020, it's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Through all, we could just let the wind blow. Night, it ain't no evildoer, it's just you who's maybe a little confused about your place in the story. But when the dawn breaks, see how the
I'm swimming in it. just by getting sick. Catching the wind, my body's submerged in water. Catching the wind, I saw you spying on me. Catching the wind, your mind's eye oracle. Catching the wind, swirling all around me. Do something to me.
Watch for Pedro show. We started off the second hour with a song that's going to come to me. Jack of Fools for Spencer Cullum's Coin Collection. I actually played again the song we just fucking heard. So Spencer's going to save my ass and rescue the whole show by doing that. After that, we had Sam Bennett out of Tokyo with Just Let the Wind Blow, Mary St. Mary of Tropical Fish, Double Dutch Picnic, Street Howl, and Dietrich Buxtehude.
Buxtehude,
yeah. Thank you. Spencer Cullum's Coin Collection, which I think is the greatest fucking name for a band. Because, no, when you think about collecting coins, like collecting stamps, like collecting songs and records.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's yours. It's your thing. Yeah. It's your thing. I love this. I mean, it beats the hell out of Wedding Tool or Turd Purse. So now let's get back to this. So you're on tour in the United States now with the country band from Detroit.
Yeah.
Now, because you're talking about a lot of your gigs being these pub things in London, big move from Essex, but ain't that far, maybe 70, 80 miles. But did you do any England tours before?
Yeah, the band who I met in Detroit, from Detroit, toured England and went all over as well and done like some, yeah, they just done UK and Ireland. And so I went on tour with them first before.
Oh, okay. So, but that was your first time doing, the rest
doing
of the
country. Doing, like, playing pedal steel and touring and...
Okay.
Yeah.
In the U.S., you probably the drives were a little longer.
Oh, man, yeah. That was brutal.
And especially out my way. Especially out my way.
Yeah.
Fucking Rocky Mountains. I mean, it's really pretty, but there's a lot of hours involved.
Yeah, and the lead singer was really into, like, the stage has got to look amazing, and we need to have a Hammond and a Leslie and a giant coffin cap bass. He, like, wanted the look.
Oh, okay.
It felt like we had the setup of, like, Stones in, like, the 70s, but, like, without the money or the techs or, you know.
It's like Halloween, right? Dressing up.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, what do they call it in England? Fancy dress party, right?
Yes, there you go. Yeah.
Okay. But still, what an opportunity. And just meeting some cats and being a master of an instrument that a lot of, like you said, they were older gentlemen and not a lot of people doing it. So in a way, we were off air talking about these people, but it was kind of a collection of circumstance and coincidence. Now, yeah, lucky meeting these guys, but Spence had the fucking skills of learning the pedal. So it's kind of a weird combination. So lucky things happen to you, but then you got to be ready to, you know, make use of it when it does happen. So you can't base everything on luck.
Yeah.
Okay. You do. I think that's the lesson to be learned there. And did you stay with them more than a big tour?
Yeah, I was with them for a couple of records actually, and then I started like recording with them. And I've never like really done much recording with pedal steel. It's great. Like it was like recording in Detroit. And doing like, you know, like learning about like, you know, how to record the pedal steel and like, you know, with all these like old tape machines and like reel to reels and, you know, and like learning like vintage recording gear and whatnot. So it was fantastic. I definitely like.
What amp was you using?
I was like at an old 60s Fender, like a Fender Deluxe or something like that. It was
black,
brilliant.
Blackface or silver?
Blackface one.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Here, I want to play, hopefully, High on Rocky Ledge. I guess it was a Moondog song?
Yes. Yeah.
Incredible composer out of New York City.
Oh, God. Thank you.
to see her, goodness knows. Puffing and puffing, dressed in the warmest climbing clothes. How many chances would be taken in my hopeless pursuit of Krishna? Spoke a spirit, if you would win your lady love, there's only one way, fall to your death from high above. You will begin to grow in snow beside the one you have waited.
Come how far it goes. See how all the time does fly when you're staring out a window. Pictures in the wedding place of the fallen stars. Won't begin to take the place of how beautiful you are. Here's to you, here's to me.
From Pedro Show. Yeah, High on Rocky Ledge, a Moondog song reinterpreted by Spencer Cullum and Aaron Ray.
Mm-hmm.
The collaborator?
Yes, we came around and sang it, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
And then we had Joy Cut with 1D, Gold Mines, Not the Lion, Itch.io with the Macabre, Quiet Pig, there's an Italian band, Prado, Besiktas. I think it's a Turkish word. And then finally, I think this is one of your side projects called Caitlin Rose.
This is a girl who I kind of met in Nashville, and know why I moved to Nashville, really. So.
Yeah, well, go on.
Yeah, I kind of was the band started splitting up from Detroit, and then I kind of suddenly realized that, there's more pedals still working in Nashville, and then I went there and hung out there for a bit, moved back to England, living in a place called Whitechapel, she come over to England, and I toured with her all around Europe. She was massive in Europe. Yeah, all you know, like she'd do like big, these beautiful theatres. And it's weird, like I kind of toured with her for years and done records with her. And then yeah, I kind of, she's like, you should come and move to Nashville. There's more pedal steel work there, so it's more country music. So, yeah.
And what was the difference about playing with those guys from Detroit and playing with Caitlin?
Her music, I guess her, she was better. You know, the bands from Detroit were like, it was fun and it was great and everything, but they were like Rolling Stones wannabe. Her music was like, Caitlin's music reminded, I don't know, she sounds, her voice is like Linda Ronstadt, but like her own sort of thing mixed with this folk sort of, you know, such great musicians on her records. She had like, there was this like little scene in East Nashville and she was getting all these like wonderful musicians playing on her record, and I kind of loved fitting into that sort of world. It was like such like, yeah, it was so fun.
And maybe you know, speaking of fitting in, and since it's a singer oriented band, this lady, there's maybe more space for your steel.
Not much space, yeah.
Yeah, because not so much rock and roll, right? So there's more.
Yeah. It's quiet, and like we was doing like three piece tours where it was like the guitarist, her, and acoustic and the pedal steel, and that was like so much fun to just like move around that, you know. It was like very stripped down sort of. So we went out with a band called Cool, and they were like part of, it was like Lamb Chop and a girl called Courtney Tidwell.
I know the bass man in Lamb Chop, Matt. Yeah, they're Nashville guys. Matt was in a band called Clockhammer.
Oh, okay.
Years and years ago, but I, God, it's a small world, shit. But so you guys were touring, Spence. You guys were touring with no drummer.
Yeah, no drummer. It's kind of nice, actually. No offense to drummers, but like, but yeah, it was great. It was, you know, it was, and I was recording with her. It was really fun. Like,
so was time? Was time more languid? Was more loose? Was it such a?
Yeah, well, you know, I guess on the records, we should have full drums. And
I understand that.
But, you know, live, it was fantastic. And it was really, you know, especially doing, like, European shows where you could hear a pin drop. They're so quiet and, like, you know.
A big respect for the performer.
Yeah, like, hanging on every word. And I love, like, going to tour in Germany and they're like, that was a wonderful show, you know, but I wouldn't have done that cold, you know. I love that.
You play sitting down. You got to play sitting down, right? Does anybody steel standing up?
No, I don't think so. Okay. No, that's just like, yeah, I wouldn't be able to keep in tune if I was wondering.
Do you bring your own chair around?
Yeah, I have this thing called a packer seat, and it's this chair that folds out, and you keep all your pedals and cables in it. It's great.
Ah, so it's like a dual purpose.
Yeah.
It carries stuff, and she'll park your ass on it.
I have to carry around, so, you know.
No, we know about the schlep, right? We know about the schlep. Fucking me with the bass, but, man, bass has made big advances with these Class D, 1,500-watt amp that weighs 6 pounds.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you forgot with your little finger. You know?
I got two speakers from Brighton. That's a company called Bareface, 1,200-watt speaker box, 212, 40 pounds. Right. 40 pounds it weighs!
That beats like an MPEG coffee cap.
Yeah, well, we call them fridge.
Fridge, that's pretty good.
Yeah, 145 pounds without the case. Fucking, yeah. And the head is 85, and then it's $50 a tube. There's 6 power ones, $300 every time you retube it. Yeah, so vintage, yeah, okay. No, I'm just curious about little practical things like that. You know, because like having to hit up every venue for a chair. Can I have a stool? Can I have a chair? Yeah. Right. But this is smart that it's actually both a case and a seat.
Yeah, because I was always like boring venue. Like, I was going to like venues and having like a drum store or a stool or anything like that. And it was always never the right height because I'm so tall.
Right. You were talking about putting books under that first.
Yeah, exactly.
What steel do you rock now?
I have a couple. I have a GFI, and then which is like a double neck one, and then I have a something called Show Pro, which is like a Show Bud.
Right.
That's a single neck one. So, and then, you know, it's still heavy.
You know? Sure. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, December 9, 2020, this WAP Pedo Show special guest, Spencer Cullum. Hold tight for hour three. December 9, 2020, it's the third hour of the WAP Pedo Show.
Please mind the gap between the train and the platform. This is Hounslow Central. This is a Piccadilly line service to...
Start off the third hour with The Informant. Right there, you got Spence Informant on the record industry, which, my heart bleeds Pink Lemonade for them. Steelism. Steelism.
Yeah.
That's a prod of yours.
Yes. That's with the Caitlin Roses guitarist that we started when we was touring with Caitlin. And we was really bored in like sound checks and like we're listening to a lot of instrumental music like Booker T and The Ventures, and then we just started making instrumental music, you know.
you know why waste. I remember one time I had a real young drummer with me on tour. We got a couple hours to kill, and I looked at him, you know, you ain't got a couple hours to kill, buddy. so why not? Okay. Tragic Comedy after that, Jam Number One, Hellbat, Class A Misdemeanor, Fell Runner, Better Isn't Always Better, Ear Diorama Ear with Waiting Room, and finally The Tube from Steelism. Now, I thought Steelism might have related to your instrument.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And So you guys developed some tunes and you went into the studio and made records?
Yeah. Okay. We put a little EP out, and then we'd done a little 7-inch vinyl thing, and then it was kind of like, yeah, like Booker T and the MGs, but with pedal steel, or we listened to tons of Ennio Morricone as well, and like trying to sort of add that into it, trying to make like a pedal steel record that wasn't, you know, totally like country drenched sort of thing, that could project it into other areas, you know.
Yeah, like.
I didn't say genres then.
No, you didn't. But this, Mr. Marconi, you know, this thing about the surf guitar being redefined, he's a trumpet man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you can hear that. You know, that's why I was saying music is music. Why shouldn't things, like, inform on each other?
You're right, yeah.
The informant.
You're right.
Well, that's the informant in me speaking. Here, I want to play Georgia Dust from Sunseekers.
Oh, nice.
Thank you. weather is clear, she looks in the mirror and feels alienated. I was biting her ear, I said, have no fear, reflections are overrated. There's a bug on my book, man, I can't even look. It's looking so gross and wicked. She says, man of my friends, I could save you again, but I'd rather see you kick it. Now she ran away, there's not much to say. I have no reason to blame. She had a way, I guess she was okay. She just ushered me back into my grave. Now I need to stay home, and I can't be alone. It makes her feel like old people's nurses. She gets really worked up when I drink up her cough. Then she swears at my face and she curses. Now I couldn't do much. See, I walk with a crutch. I was crushed by the littlest weight. She was out and about. I fell back in her doubt. And she ushered me back into my grave. Now she ran away, there's not much to say. I have all the time on my hands. And she had a way, I guess she was okay. But I'll never understand.
Last music for this edition, Georgia Dust from Sunseeker. Now, what kind of project is this you're involved with?
These are a band on Third Man Records, and I do love Nashville, where it's nice to, especially now, there's like not exactly just country music coming from there. This band, they're like young kids that are like, well, you know, 20, 22, something like that, that are like, when I met them, and I'm a bit older than them, and I got to play Steel on their record. And it was, they're such a cool band. They sound like, they kind of got that bird sort of thing, but, you know, but newer meets sort of like, you know, real estate meets. Yeah, they're really cool, you know. And, it's one of those sort of like session, overdub session things that I've done. I was like, I love this. This is my kind of cup of tea.
So it led, one thing led to another. Botanist with Gazing. Okay, then we had Mike Cooper with the Miniature 2.
Great song.
Mashiato, number one, from Tatsuhisa Yamamoto. And finally, She Ushered Me Back to My Grave from Herman Doom. What's that about?
He lives in San Pedro.
Yeah, I know. But where was the connect?
He was kind of like the... he was doing like a lot of back in a few years ago, like part of the anti-folk movement.
Sure.
Thing in New York with like Jeffrey Lewis and all that, and now a French guy. And then it was really cool. I've known him. He kind of like came out to like Caitlin Rose shows, and he's and I guess he moved to San Pedro, opened up a little like, you know, cool like studio around there, and then called Santa Cruz Studios, and then does his own music there. And yeah, I've done like it is great with the new technology, sending files back and forth, you know, whatnot. So,
been doing a lot of that the last 7-8 months.
Yeah, that's all I've been doing.
Yeah. Now, we should talk about the Coin Collection, because that's the record that came out. Did you record that in Nashville?
I did, yeah. A couple of years ago, actually, yeah. It's taken me a while to sort of... A place called Pat Battle Tapes Recording, so it's all like an old vintage analog studio sort of thing.
And what you did was like a tune by tune, like you said, it was over a long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got like a band in for the chunk of the days, like, and then afterwards I'd go back to mine and sort of like work on bits and bobs and whatnot. Bits and bobs.
Bits and bobs. I've heard that before.
That should have been a song, actually.
You know, over here, the Spanish, you write people from Mexico and stuff, they say chingaderas, right? Little fucking things. Right, okay. Yeah, little fucking things. Chingadera. I love chingadera. Little fucking chingas, right? In Spain, they don't say that, but in Mexico. So it's chinga, you know, the way we are saying fucking all the time. And so their thing for little things is little fucking things. Chingaderas.
Bits and bobs.
Yeah, it was just like bits and bobs. Same thing. Same thing. So where can people find you on the internet, Spence?
So it's you can type on Spencer Cullum's coincollection.com and you can buy the vinyl, and then YK Records has put it out, and you can find it there.
Now, so, people, there's no, don't try to put in apostrophe there.
No apostrophe. Cullums Coincollection.
Right. Yeah, right. So Spencercullums Coincollection.com.
I know, I've made it very complicated for myself, ain't I? I'm kind of like,
That's all right, man. It's very unique. You ain't going to see that duplicated. a lot of fucking things. So, and have you been composing during this situation?
Really.
No.
Here and there, sort of like, you know, I've kind of, this is all new to me. I've never really been like a singer or, you know, or tried to write my own lyrics or anything like that. So I've
I should ask you about that. There's this thing called sidemanitis, and people feel very frustrated, right? They never get to, it's like being a terrier where people are always picking you up because you ain't big enough to bite the motherfuckers.
Exactly like that.
And then finally you get to do your record, right? Your thing.
Yeah.
And that's why I think, but here's the other side of that, my opinion, Spence, where you're always the boss. Then you miss out.
Yeah,
you always get your way. So you miss out. You don't learn everything either. I think it's good to switch up the roles.
Yes, you're right. You know, I do like playing, like being on the side. What's my friend called it? He says, you look like you're studying for a test when you're playing pedal steel in the background, you know? He's kind of like, I do like that. I do like being a side man. I'm not really a front man. I don't really like that. That's why the whole Coin Collection is like a group of people and songs. And where I'm kind of in, even as my name, I don't want to be in the front of it, you know?
But you want to be the shot caller sometimes.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I do. I guess it's just my weird English way of hanging on in quiet desperation, you know.
That sounds like a lyric. Pink Floyd. So. Oh, look, for not just your fellow cats from there or even Nashville cats, but for everybody, do you have some advice what music, your journey in music has taught you that you could share with everyone?
Oh, that's good. You know... you know, I always like learn, like I don't know, just, I honestly feel like everyone needs to be okay with sleeping on soap and just being in a dirty, fucking gross van for 5 years and accept that. And I think that's, I can't trust musicians that have gone from one step to the giant leap. You know?
Like, oh, yeah. I understand, because they're not going to be able to appreciate.
I don't think so. Yeah, you know, it's like, I really think, you know, just a gross tour van. You know?
Sure,
so,
sure.
So just try and get in a gross tour van as quickly as you can.
Even a clean one. I mean, we call it, you know, because if you call it a tour more than a month, I've done 67 of them, and we say clean boat is a happy boat. We call it the boat. But it is the center of the touring universe. And I think when you're that close to it, you do appreciate things. There's no layer of abstraction.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And you just, you know, yeah, you just, it stops you from being an arsehole as well.
That's a good point. Spanish Man, is beautiful having you on. When you get your next coin collection going, will you come back on the show and we can talk about it?
Hell yes, I will. We'll
play the whole fucking thing this time.
It'll be called Bits and Bobs.
Bits, okay, just Bits and Bobs. People, it's been the December 9, 2020 edition of Peter Show. Keep your powder dry.